deny it, Lord Jesus. That's the way we need to want you, Lord, every day of our lives, Lord Jesus, to see a change. I have a feeling in my heart that some of you out there today are so sick and tired of the mundane. You're sick and tired of every day you wake up. It's like the same mediocre power that you've just been used to, you've grown accustomed to. It's like it's almost turned into a religion. And you're sick and tired of it. You want to feel that fresh and new, that breath of God. You want to feel it. You want to know it. You want to walk in it. I'm going to tell you right now that that's available, that that's never changed. A lot of the times we change the circumstances and we change the way things are. We get in the way. This morning, would you take a stand and say, you know what, God, I want a fresh and new. I want your spirit inside of me in such a way. I want your word written upon my heart. I want to speak your truth in love. I want to walk in the joy and in the power of the spirit. I'm so sick and tired of the mundane, God. I want to pour it all out before you at your feet, at your cross. I want to let go. People, church, this is your choice. God will not force you into it. It is totally your choice. He is waiting patiently. He is waiting for you. Sometimes it doesn't feel like, it's like, when is it going to happen? Will this ever happen to me? That choice is completely up to you. If you're sick and tired of the mundane, if you're sick and tired of watching the enemy take your life, turn it upside down. If you're sick and tired of watching the enemy do that to people you love, I think it's about time that we make the choice to make a change here at Pathway of Hope. This is the path we want to be on. We want to be on that path where God directs our every move, God, not just in this place and in this moment, but in our lives every step of the way, where we speak it, where we talk it, where we walk it, where we show it. God wants to be the leader of your life and in your heart and in your soul. He wants to be the reason that the love rolls off of your tongue and touches hearts and lives. You see, it is the Holy Spirit that draws people. We can talk a good story, but we have to believe it. And I could try and talk it up to you, but you have to believe it. You have to step into it, and you have to believe it. And when you believe in something, it changes the way that you live, because you're making the choice to believe in something so strongly that you're taking action steps towards God, and you're saying, God, show me. I want to unravel this. I want to let this go. I want to throw this out. I want to put this in. I want to put more of you inside of me, God. Less of me and more of you, God. Hallelujah. Less of me and more of you. More of you, God. Pour into me, God. And I'm going to ask you to do that this morning. We're just going to make a simple action step this morning. I believe where two or more are gathered, that there he is in the midst. That's what the Word of God says, and I'm standing on that promise. If you would be so bold this morning, if you feel like in your heart it's been a struggle and you're sick and tired of it, and you want to step out, and you're saying, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's not anything Randy's going to do. It's not anything Pastor Doug's going to be able to be capable of doing, but it's going to be something that the God of heavens and earth is going to want to do inside of you this morning. If that's you this morning, I'm asking you to step out of your comfort zone. And can we just come and fill the front right here, right now? If you would come fill this place, all you prayer warriors, I want you to come over here too. I want you to be prepared, because God wants to pour out His Spirit on His people today. He wants to pour it out. If you can be so bold, do not be afraid. Do not fear, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He is with you. Hallelujah. If that's you this morning and you're sick and tired of the mundane, would you reach your hands up to the sky and say, God, pour into me, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you pour into me? Hallelujah. Glory. Do whatever it takes. Just begin to cry out to God. Tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what's on your heart. Say, God, I want to give my all to you. God, I want to give it all. Would you just lift up your voices in song and just tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you love Him, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. Yes, I love you. Oh. over you. Just make the choice this morning. Lay it all down before the King, would you? I want to lay it all down before. I'm going to lay it all down. No matter what it takes, God. Empty me, Lord, won't you empty me, oh Lord. Empty me of all those things that stand between us, God. Every wicked way, every wicked thing, oh Lord, I'll offer it down at your foot of your cross, down at your feet. I want it to be lost and lost, won't you empty me now, empty me, oh empty me now, empty me, oh empty me now, empty me, oh empty me. Now, empty me. Now you see, there's a second step to this. We can come and we can empty our cups to the Lord. We can empty out our hearts completely. But you got to understand something. Christians, brothers and sisters, you've got to be informed that there is an enemy that wants to come in immediately. He wants to put a cap on that, or he wants to begin to fill it with things. He wants to find a way to distract you. He wants to find a way to bring doubt into your life. You have got to begin to rebuke. You have got to begin to stand firm and know that he who is inside of you is greater than he who is in the world. You've got to begin to stand on the promises of the King of Kings, that if he be with you, who can be against you? And now you've got to make that promise, and you've got to begin to ask the Lord in power and truth. And you say, Lord, I want you to come inside of me. I want you to fill me, God. I don't want to be the one who tries to control my life and do things on my own. I'm letting go. Come and fill me up, Lord.
Come and fill me. Come fill me. Oh, won't you come and fill me up? Ooh, come and fill me. Come and fill me.
Make that declaration in your heart right now.
Come and fill me. Come and fill me. Oh, won't you fill me up? Ooh, come and fill me.
You fill me with this. Now I want to take a moment to talk with you a little bit more about the understanding of this, because I believe so many times we step up here, and guys, there is a difference between the spirit of sensation and the spirit of the Lord. There's a huge difference. You see, that spirit of sensation is that spirit that makes us want to believe that, you know what, this is a feely good thing, but for some reason I'm not walking in the power of the Spirit. You see, because a lot of that feely good thing is us trying to control it. It's us trying to say, I'm waiting for a star to fall out of the sky, and if I'm not in control of this, though, I just can't do it. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that you've got to let go of all of your thoughts, of all of your logic, of all of those things in which you try to control. You've got to say, God, I'm tired of controlling it. I've always messed it up. Holy Spirit, come fill me with your love. Come fill me. I want to let go. I want to let go, and I don't want anything else inside of me but you, God. So just say that I want to let go. I'm going to let it go to you. I want to let it go to you. I want to let everything inside. I want to let it go to you. Oh, Lord, take my mind. Oh, Lord, take my soul. Take my will, it's yours. Oh, Lord, take my mind. Oh, Lord, take my soul. I want to let it go to you. I want to let it go to you. I want to let it go to you. I'm so tired of this on my own. I'm so tired of it all alone. I want to let it all go to you. Everything I have. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for what you're doing here at Pathway of Hope, God. God, I pray that you would continue, God. Just like you said, God, you're going to continue, God, to do the work that you've begun, Lord Jesus. God, whatever it takes to construct us, God, would you just break down the structures that we have built in our lives? that, God, that you can begin to come and rebuild, God, and rebuild in our lives, God, the structure in which you know that will never fall. God, our structures may crumble to the ground, but, Lord, yours remains, God. So, Lord, I just pray that you would come and build. Come build your church, God, the way that you have intended it, God. And God, I say this over all of my brothers and sisters here today, Lord Jesus, we ask for your blessing, God, and your direction and your leadership and your spirit to run wild in our hearts and lives, Lord. We ask this in your precious name, and everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, let's give a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may take your seats. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Prayer teams, worship team, you can be seated. We're going to continue in our worship right now. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings. If the ushers would prepare for that. And let me say a word of prayer over the tithes and offerings today. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your presence with us here today. You are an awesome God. Lord, we love you so much. And right now, we just want to give a little bit back to you of what you've blessed us with in our life, Lord. Pray that you accept these tithes and offerings and bless them, Lord, and multiply them in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was thinking about our Valentine's service a few months ago, I was trying to imagine what I would say if I were to speak to you on love, something like that. And you know, Jackie and I have been married for coming up on 9 years. I got that right. Yeah. Yes. Woo. Okay, so coming up on 9 years, but I wanted someone with a little more experience to come and talk to you this morning about relationships, about what it takes for a relationship to work. And so I talked to Dick and Lynn Moser, and I asked them to come and give you a message this morning on what it takes for a relationship to work, for love. And so I want you to listen to Dick and Lynn this morning. Let me pray for them. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for Dick and Lynn and for what you've done in their lives and the wisdom that you've given them, Lord. I pray that you would just impart some of that wisdom onto the rest of us here this morning through their words. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, honey, what are you up to?
There it goes.
Verizon's a little slow. Oh, I'm down at the office.
The office? Did you forget we had an appointment at the photographer this morning?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That's one mess that I just figured I'd better tackle it.
Okay. Well, I'll call the photographer, and hopefully that won't mess up his schedule. And maybe I'll just go shoe shopping at Macy's. They've got this cool sale going on down there, and I need some shoes. And maybe Tiffany would want to go have a pedicure with me. I know. I'll get a hold of Evelyn and see if she wants to go have lunch.
Oh, hey, hun, can you hold while I catch another line?
Okay.
Climb up here. You know, sometimes in our marriages, we find that communication just doesn't seem like we're really even on the same page. Sometimes not even the same book, but
yeah, we've got to work on our communication.
I think so. You know, God knew in the beginning that communication is a vital part of relationship, because he even recognized in a city of Babel, He said, wow, if these people speaking as one and uniting together can do just this, there isn't anything they won't be able to accomplish. Communication is really a very powerful tool in unity, but it's one of the hardest things to really accomplish in the relationship between man and a woman. And it's no secret that men and women are really quite different in everything about us. But God has asked us to come together in unity. And it's for a purpose, because he recognizes there is an authority and a power in that relationship as it comes together.
You know, early on in our relationship, we were engaged. We had rented our apartment, and we were we were going to do our first shopping trip. And so we're going down the shopping aisles, and we hadn't discussed any of this. We're going down the shopping aisles, and, you know, we had to go down the condiment aisle. So Dick stops at the mayonnaise, and he throws in a jar of Miracle Whip, and we just keep on cruising. And I'm going, whoa, ain't happening. And he's like, what? I said, I don't eat Miracle Whip. And he's like, what? Everybody eats Miracle Whip. Well, I don't eat Miracle Whip. So grabbed the mayonnaise, threw it in the cart, and on we went. 30 years later, there's a jar of mayonnaise and a jar of Miracle Whip in our refrigerator. Some of the other differences that we share is the timing. He likes to get up in the middle of the night and do his Bible study and his reading, and I wake up usually when he wakes up, and I just look at the clock and go, he's crazy, and roll over and go back to sleep. He likes to come home from work and watch a movie, relax after dinner, watch TV or whatever. That's my wind down time. That's my time when I can go off into my office and do my reading. So timing differences have been there. Differences in how we perceive things. Just this Valentine's Day, just a few days ago, he bought me a bouquet of roses. And way to go, right? So he gave them to me early, because in his thinking, I would want to just share with everybody how wonderful my husband is in buying me this bouquet of roses. I have got such a great catch here. My man bought me roses. Okay, that's how his thinking was. And my thinking, he's telling me, you know, he bought them early so I could share them. And I'm thinking, I want you to love me enough and so much that it doesn't matter who, if anybody, saw these roses, that I would be important enough for you to just buy me roses. So there are just major differences that we've been through over the years.
And you know, God, this didn't catch God by surprise, believe it or not. As he said way back in Genesis, he says, and man shall be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. How is he ever going to pull that off? To become one, united? That just seemed like a foreign concept. And especially because when we came into our union together, I came in with two kids from a failed marriage, and thinking, whoa, what are we getting into now? And Lynn.
I had never been married, so I came into the union with romantic, ignorant bliss.
You know, and I grew up in the same house until I went away to college. Mom, dad, brother, sister, aunts, uncles, cousins, they all were within just a short distance from around our place. So I came into our union with
roots?
Well, not me. I grew up living in many homes. We moved annually, whether we needed to or not. So I changed schools year after year after year. So I was always making new friends. In the denomination that I grew up in, if you've seen one parish, you've seen them all. The network of mom and dad and brothers and aunts and uncles and cousins, pretty much in the same area that I grew up in, but now they're scattered all over the nation. I entered into the foster care system as an early teen, so I didn't grow up with just one family structure. I had many family structures. Some people might call this dysfunction. I like to refer to it as adaptability.
So where do we begin on trying to put these two separate cords together? Well, the scripture tells us that a three-strand cord is not easily broken. Where do you get the third? Well, it's our Creator, God Himself. He wants to be in our midst, in our marriage, in our relationship building process. He wrote the book on this. He is the manufacturer. You got to go back to the specs and read the book, because he desires for us to share a relationship in and through him. You know, and when we came together then at the very foundation of our marriage, I arrived at the church and my best man was there. He says, "Hey, Dick, how's it going?" And I'm thinking, boy, if I'm making a mistake, I don't want to be here. So I said, "Hey, you know, if God doesn't show up with this, I don't want to be here." And as the music started, Lynn appeared at the back of the church. My friend says, "Hey, did you feel that?" "What?" He said, "God just showed up. He felt the power of the Spirit of God entering into that place." You know, Lynn's dad wasn't able to make it. This was out in Hawaii. And we would like to think and know that God Himself, Father God,
we like to believe that my Father God walked His daughter down the aisle and gave her to be married to this man. So what is the glue of our marriage? It's the Holy Spirit, obviously. I need to put my glasses on. Everything we are or we ever hope to be is because of God. The working of His Word in our lives. Every challenge that we have ever faced, and for those that have known us for any length of time, there have been many, many challenges. We've had five kids that we've raised together, and there's just been a lot of challenges in our life. But God has carried us through every single one of them. And every single challenge has been taken to our knees in prayer. Everyone. And God has been faithful. Every argument we have ever had. And there have been many of those. Has been taken in our heart before our Savior for His resolution. And that's, you know, I'm just going to interject this thought right here. That's where we take the discontent. That's where we take the hard times between us. You don't take them to each other. You take them to your knees. And yes, we do argue. We do disagree. But ultimately, we take them to our knees for His resolution. People in humor say that the man always has the last word.
Yes, dear.
Say it again. I want to hear it.
Yes, dear.
Well, that may be true enough. When your life and your marriage is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, He always has the last word, His word.
You know, a successful marriage really is about that simple. For God is love. He is the creator. He's the author. He will finish this book that He's writing in us. And through that whole process, if we read His book and ask for that understanding, He will come and lead us and guide us and show us the way to walk in.
You know, there was a recent situation between Dick and I, back to the whole disagreement thing, that he and I vehemently disagreed on. I mean, we were just like... And during this time, there seriously was like a clap of thunder outside. Just went kaboom, and we're like, whoa, what's going on here? Well, in this situation, I still don't remember what it was all over, but I do remember the outcome. I told Dick my opinion. He told me his opinion. There was no bringing these two together. I walked away fuming, and he walked away shaking his head. I told God how I felt about it. And God told me how He felt about it. He told me to take the plank out of your own eye so you can see clearly to take the speck out of His eye. Surprisingly, the emphasis was on the last part of the verse. Then you will see clearly. As 1 Corinthians 13 gives us the understanding, when we walk in perfect love, we will see clearly. God wanted me to walk in love so I could see clearly through humility, gentleness, through prayer, through the light of love, the speck could be removed from His eye. God doesn't deny that the fault is there. He just wants it dealt with according to His word.
This brings us also then to four different ways that we do communicate one with another. One of those is through discernment. That's where the Spirit of God challenges, witnesses to, and speaks to the Spirit within us. Because some things that go on between not just husband and wife, but between people, those need to be discerned. You don't have a real understanding of them. So it's not in your intellect, but it's through the Spirit of God. He has filtered that for you. He will let you know, this is what I've asked of you. Be and pay special attention to that discernment. It's a gift from God. Really, it is. There's also how we listen one to another. I'm starting to learn to listen to Lynn. Did I leave her on hold? Oh, okay. At any rate, when we learn to listen, it's putting the other person first is what really counts in the midst of that. Paying real special attention. Am I understanding your heart, your feelings, your purpose in this? The Scripture tells us to be slow to speak, slow to become angry. But if we to listen in the midst of these things, it'll save a lot of problems. The last, then, so we have discernment, we speak, we listen, and then we act upon these different things that are parts of our relationship. Okay, she's going to interject.
He kind of breezed over the speak. But this has been one of my life scriptures, and I really like it. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Do not let. In other words, you have the control. Don't let it pass your lips. And what you speak, let it be words that are designed to build up the other person according to their needs.
And to act, the various things that we do. You know, faith without works, actions. Faith without works is dead. And likewise, a relationship without appropriate actions does not communicate, I love you. I'm concerned for you. Scripture tells us to rejoice in the wife of our youth. They have fun. Be purposeful in how you relate one to another. We enjoy doing a lot of different things. Down here, that whole boat trip kind of has gone by the wayside. I haven't found water to float it in yet. They say it's 100 miles that way. So we've actually kind of adopted and picked up a progressive vision for the things that we like to do. We've enjoyed doing trail hikes together, and we've got some favorite restaurants that we go to, and we'd even like to, in the future here, maybe pick up a motorcycle to be able to just kind of tour around. Motorcycle mama. And we also, Lynn early on, had a vision of us being able to minister to an indigenous people group, perhaps in the tropics, on an island. I had met her in Hawaii, so maybe your heart is just going back that direction. But, you know, keep a progressive vision for the things that you share together. They're important. Building the relationship, communicating one to another in love and in that kind of purpose before the throne of God.
So to develop that fun amongst yourselves, begin to see your spouse as God sees them. I have a few scriptures here that I'm just going to breeze through. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that he sees your spouse as chosen. Exodus 34:5-7, God sees you as loved. James 1:4 and Colossians 2:2, God sees your husband or your wife as complete. 1 Peter 2:9 again, God sees them as holy. Jeremiah 33:8, God sees them as forgiven. Romans 8:29, God sees them as having divine destiny. Jeremiah 29:11, God sees your spouse as having divine purpose. Psalm 91 and Romans 8:37-39, God sees your spouse as untouchable. 1 Peter 2:9 again, God sees your spouse as a recipient of his mercy. And John 15:15, God sees us as a friend. If that is how God sees us, can we work towards the same mind? Can we see our spouses, our chosen one? Can we see them as the one we choose to set our love on? Can we see them as forgiven? Can we encourage them in their dreams and in their goals? Can we engage in their passions? Can we create an environment in our marriage of respect and love that will make our marriage untouchable by Satan or adulterous lovers? Can our spouse be the recipient of our mercy? Can our spouse be our best friend? I say yes, we can, because we have the mind of Christ. And in that mind, that's how this is developed. That's how the Word of God is developed in our hearts. And Dick and I truly are best friends. We really, really are.
Matthew 18 says, come together and agree, and it shall be done for you. That is the power of unity in the Spirit of God, with Him as that third cord in a three-strand cord is not easily broken. You know, Pastor Doug usually speaks a blessing, reads a blessing out of Scripture over us. And I'd like to do that this morning only as a prayer, if I might. It's in Philippians 1, 9 and 10. Slightly modified, but this is it, if you'll bow your heads. And Father, we just come before you. And this is our prayer for all of these who have gathered, that your love may abound for each other more and more in the knowledge and in the depth and the insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best for each other, and that you may be pure and blameless in your relationship until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, guys. That was terrific. One of the reasons I asked Dick and Lynn to speak to you this morning is because God is on the verge of something amazing here at Pathway. Yes. And the devil does not like it. And the devil's going to do anything he can to disrupt what God wants to do here. He's going to come after our marriages. He's going to come after our kids. He's going to do everything he can to distract us from what God wants to do in your life. Don't let him do it. Your marriage relationship is one of the strongest forces. If God is on your side, cord of three strands cannot be broken. It's one of the first verses that Dick and Lynn said. If you've got your husband, your wife, and Christ together, that is a strong force for God's kingdom. Don't let the devil have his way with your marriage. Fight for it. Fight for it. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what Dick and Lynn spoke to us about this morning, about some keys to effective communication in your marriage. And we know, Lord, how much you love us and how much you love our families. We pray that you would surround each of our married couples in this church, Lord, with angels, Lord, that would be protecting them from attacks of the devil. Lord, I pray that you would just bless our marriages. In Jesus' name, amen. Another thing is, yesterday at men's breakfast, I gave the men a challenge. Ladies, you're not allowed to know about it. Men, if you want to know what that challenge is, come talk to me after the service, and it will also help improve your marriage. Okay? All right. Let's close.
We could, let's stand to our feet. Let's just seal this morning.
My freedom, my reason, my Savior, that's what you are to me. You bring me, complete me. My Savior, that's what you are. There's no other like you. There's no one beside you. I'm not afraid.
Nick has already given a blessing, but I want to give you a double blessing this morning. From Jude, verses 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen? All right. You are dismissed.